Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. The effects of COVID-19 go far beyond health issues. The consequences of effectively closing commerce to support social distancing can put local businesses in peril. Sean Copeland is CEO of Regent Bank and the Secretary of Commerce and Workforce Development for the state of Oklahoma. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills spoke with Copeland about the financial hardships caused by the coronavirus and explained some of the options for relief open to businesses.
I've started getting questions from people about the financial system. And, you know, with the stock markets tumbling, will there be a run on banks? I mean, people are having visions of 1929, Sean. And to try to sit down and patiently explain what the FDIC is and all that kind of stuff is hard. Are you guys getting calls? Are people worried? Kind of talk to me a little bit about what you're hearing from people.
We are getting some calls about FDIC insurance, and I think that's very important to explain to people. We haven't had any kind of run on the banks or big withdrawals or anything like that, but people are clearly nervous, and so it is important for people to remember that their money is insured by the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, up to $250,000, and in many cases much higher, because you can actually structure, depending upon family members and beneficiaries, you can actually get a significantly higher FDIC limit for people. So their money is truly safe, and it's a whole lot safer in the bank than it is under their couch cushion or under their bed, for sure. The good news is, coming into this is different. Like, if you go back to 08, 9, and 10, there was some weakness in the financial sector at that time, and there were a lot of banks that went under. The difference here is that banks come into this situation and crisis, if you will, very, very healthy. So, frankly, the healthiest that we maybe have ever been, more capital, more reserves, more everything. So people really, there's a lot of things to worry about right now, but I don't think they need to worry about the health of the banking system.
Well, that is awesome news to hear. And I've been telling folks the same thing. I also think we might see, and call me crazy, we might see a move towards making currency, making money all digital, because frankly, money is very, very dirty stuff and passes from person to person, and it's not good in an age where people are worried about transmission of disease, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we're moving that way, Russell, as anyway. I mean, you
absolutely
don't think about the last time you spent with, you know, paid for anything with cash. It's very, very rare. And so, yeah, no question. It's a lot more sanitary. That's for sure.
Something else I wanted to ask you about, and put on your government hat for a second. If you don't even wear hats, put on your government suit for a second and tell me, you know, how is Oklahoma's economy faring? Because on top of this whole virus thing and businesses closing, we've had some really bad news in the oil and gas industry.
Yeah, there is no question that even coming into the COVID-19 issue, we had oil prices dropping because, you know, Saudi Arabia increased their production. We had ag commodity prices have been low. We had the Boeing MAX issue, which was weighing a little bit on our aerospace industry. So there is no doubt, you know, going into this, our unemployment rate was still very low. Our GDP growth was still very good. Medical is still strong. Trucking is still strong. We still have strong industries. But man, this coronavirus is definitely thrown us all a curveball that we really did not see coming. It's just a whole different ball game. But there are a lot of things we are working on and trying to do to help businesses in Oklahoma, for sure.
So here's what I thought was interesting. You know, I do a financial show on Sundays with Dan Witham of LPL Financial called Money Talk here on KRMG on Sunday mornings. And he was talking about some of the companies whose stock prices have gone down, but the underlying value of the stock and the company is still fantastic. And he was mentioning some Oklahoma companies and oil and gas companies. One Oak was one of them, I believe. And I want to say Mid-Continent, the other, that were making billions, that made billions and billions of dollars last year. Really good, like, banner years for these companies. So that kind of underlying strength is, has, I would think, would be very helpful at a time like this when we're all looking at a definite downturn to some degree.
You know, what's interesting is it's a healthcare crisis. The problem is our behavior is what makes it an economic crisis, right? I mean, it's not inherently an economic crisis, except for the fact that, we frankly fear drives us to that. So I totally understand the moves that Mayor Bynum and the governor and others are making to try to curb this coronavirus. It's just so unfortunate that it has such a negative and, in some cases, devastating impact on our business community. It's a very difficult line to walk here, because the main thing is we want to keep everybody safe. But at the same time, it is really, really impacting small businesses, for sure.
I'm sure you heard about the mayor's order today, essentially shutting down all public businesses. I mean, the headlines say bars and restaurants, but when you read the order, it's movie theaters and skating rinks and public parks, and it's pretty much, you know, everything. And it says until further notice, basically it says indefinitely. Now, do you know, is the governor considering, or has he thought about maybe doing that, or is he leaving that up to the municipalities to decide? Kind of, do you know what the procedure is here? Because, again, we're in uncharted waters.
Well, as everyone has seen and has been reported nationally, Governor Stitt's goal has been to try to bring calm to everybody and to try to kind of bring the statistics of the virus to bear. And as you know, 85% of people recover with very mild, issues from the virus. And it's really the older and health challenged populations that we need to be the most concerned about. And so he and I were on a number of industry calls yesterday, and he continuously said that his goal was to kind of bring normalcy to our life. Unfortunately, the problem is things are changing so rapidly. And so I do not know of his desire to close down any, retail establishments like the one that you mentioned. He has not sent anything to the cabinet. But, could it happen? Certainly it could. I mean, things are just changing so quickly. And I, Mayor Bynum is not an overreactor. And so I know he is looking at this, trying to make the best decisions he can for Tulsa. Well, what we've tried to do is we've tried to figure out a way for businesses to remain open. And I think that has been through a couple of ways. One is putting on my banking hat. The state banking commissioner and all of our national regulators have called on banks to really try to support businesses through this time. And so I know we are all trying to provide, payment deferrals, interest only, even additional working capital when we can, to try to help businesses make it through. And then the SBA has a disaster loan program that is up to $2 million that I think can be very effective for our local businesses as well. And we've been working hard to try to get the state and counties eligible for those monies too.
We are seeing just incredible volatility in the stock markets, and as noted earlier, in commodities like oil and natural gas. A lot of folks are kind of eyeing that and thinking, you know what, this might be a really good investment opportunity right about now to start putting some money into, into the future. Well, if your customers come and talk to you about something like that, what's your advice for them?
Well, every investment decision depends upon that person, right? So how old are they? How much risk can they take? All of those types of things. But having said all that, absolutely. I mean, I believe what we are seeing in countries that take this coronavirus seriously and take social distancing measures like we are doing, is that it really begins to flatten the curve, and they get a hold of it. South Korea is a great example of a nation that has done a remarkable job. Iran and Italy, unfortunately, did not take it very seriously. And so we're kind of seeing what has happened there. So my belief and hope is that this will be a crisis that in 90 days, maybe even 60 days, we look back and go, okay, everything's going to be okay. We're going to make it through, and we'll see the market recover. So I personally am investing heavily right now, believing that this is a great time to buy.
And I'm hearing that from others. And what Mr. Witham said was, by all means, just don't jump in with both feet. Put a little in, wait a few days, spread it out a little bit. But yes, this would be a good time, you know, if you're thinking about it. And you can handle, mind you, do not put your life savings or, you know, your emergency fund, don't invest that. Keep some cash reserve, but at least that's what the experts are telling me. You should have probably a year's worth of cash reserve if possible. But then I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to agree with you. It's always important to have, safety funds here, just because like we are seeing, you never know what could be around the corner. I mean, none of us would have predicted this a month or two months ago. And so you got to have some savings there just in case. But man, it looks like there's a lot of money to be made on the investment front to me, right now. Probably the most important thing that you could help me get out to your listeners is around these SBA disaster monies, because it's really important. Businesses are desperate right now, and they are looking for capital sources. And in some instances, their banks may not be able to make the loans that they need. So if here's kind of the situation. Oklahoma has applied to be an eligible state for this disaster recovery program. We did that several days ago. It's taken the SBA a while to process through these various states. So while that was occurring, Mark Gower, the director of our emergency management system, made a really, really smart decision by setting up a state site. It was called damage.ok.gov. And so we began pushing businesses toward that and said, hey, put your information in here. The good news is, because of that, within the next 24 hours, Oklahoma will be deemed an eligible state. And we have 24 counties, including Tulsa County, all of the contiguous counties, Oklahoma County, and all of the counties around it are all eligible. So what we need businesses to do, if they are needing funding within, like I said, within 24 hours, they can go to sba.gov/funding-programs, and it will take them to an application for SBA disaster loan. They're up to $2 million. The rate is 3.75 for for-profit businesses, 2.75 for nonprofits. They're up to 30-year loans. And most importantly, it can get them the capital that they need right now.
Sean Copeland, CEO of Regent Bank. You're listening to Oklahoma Perspective. Another unfortunate byproduct of the coronavirus pandemic is the opportunity for businesses to raise prices on everyday items. In Oklahoma, raising prices past a certain level can be considered price gouging and is against state law. KRNG's Russell Mills talks with Oklahoma Attorney General Mike Hunter about the law and what you can do if you suspect a business is price gouging.
You sent an email to our newsroom about price gouging laws in Oklahoma, and I thought, I don't really know. I don't really understand them. Tell us what today's announcement means. I guess what goes into effect and how does that impact us?
So the state has a price gouging statute, otherwise known as the Emergency Price Stabilization Act. And Russell, what that does is it prohibits increases in the price of goods or services of more than 10% after a federal or state emergency declaration occurs. And so it is automatically triggered after the president's announcement, declaration of a national emergency. This authorizes our office to investigate and, if appropriate, to pursue charges against individuals that engage in price gouging.
So price increases of 10% or more could be considered gouging, but is that on everything across the board, across the economy, or is it on particular goods, commodities, and services, or is it everything?
It is expansive, goods and services. And so our admonition to folks just generally is don't pay inflated prices for things. And when you're able to identify an inflated price, which seems excessive to you and is, you know, in this 10% plus category, you know, whether it's hand sanitizers, paper towels, or any other products or services, please contact our office. The other thing I'd like to, I guess, give folks a heads up about is we're seeing a lot of scams related to the virus. If you get offers for vaccines or products that are claiming to treat COVID-19, the FDA hasn't approved any such products or treatments, so please avoid those. If you see emails and they're unsolicited from the CDC or the WHO, if you haven't subscribed to those, please ignore emails like that. Don't open them. And, you know, the CDC website, the Center for Disease Control, you know, if you want trusted updates, that's a good place to go. Again, go directly to that website. So also be careful about any kind of charities claiming to be associated with or assisting those affected by the coronavirus, unless they're very reputable and they're organizations that that you have relationships with or contacts with in the past. So a lot going on here. There's been, I think, good direction to the public about social gatherings and, you know, being careful about sanitizing your hands and not touching your face. And so I wouldn't expand on that other than to say it's a situation where we all just have to be very vigilant about what we do until we get past this.
So when this topic came up during this afternoon's news meeting, somebody mentioned that, well, you know, I saw toilet paper for $8 a roll or something like that at a local grocery store. Clearly an example of, 400% increase or something.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So what should they do in a case like that?
So our direct number here is 405-521-3921. And that is our receptionist will direct you to how to appropriately get that complaint to us and get the particulars of what you as a member of the public is seeing with regard to price gouging. You can also go online, and our website is oag.ok.gov, and there's a form there, an easy to fill out form, and that's something that we pull down on a daily basis. So those are the two ways to access our office to get us engaged when you see, again, evidence of price gouging around the state. So I really encourage everybody to be, you know, to be a good neighbor. And when you see this, report it, because it's going to be a situation where a lot of people are being disadvantaged if we don't do our job here and go out and hold people accountable for doing stuff to take advantage of Oklahomans.
Well, and unfortunately, some people might find themselves in the position of going ahead and filling out that form, but forking over their dough anyway and getting gouged. Yeah. At which point, you know, we go into the enforcement phase of this law. Is this a felony, this price gouging statute, or is it a misdemeanor?
We do have the ability to hold people accountable criminally. And so that's part, I guess, of the teeth that exist in the law. You know, in a perfect world, we would get this addressed and get it stopped and have stuff priced the way it needs to be. So I don't want this to be an inquisition, but we're certainly prepared if people are just absolutely taking advantage of, again, their neighbors and fellow citizens here in the state. We're fully prepared to hold people accountable for doing that.
Oklahoma Attorney General Mike Hunter. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Bert Williams.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.